here, when you come here, and when you lift your hands. Okay, let's begin this like this. When you come here and when you lift your hands, there are two questions. Two questions every person who comes here will have. Or one of the two questions. One question is, God, what are you going to do for me? Are you with me?
Yes.
And second question is, God, what I can do for you?
Amen.
These two questions are very important. If you come here and none of these questions are right or wrong, but the question you choose, if you say, God, what you can do for me, is a beautiful question. But there's a much beautiful question than that. God, what I can do for you?
Amen.
It's a very beautiful question. Your greatness is defined by that question. So those who don't know me and don't know this church, we are more interested in the later question, which says, God, what I can do for you? I'm telling you, this is a place where we lay down our life, and Saint Paul says, follow me as I imitate me as I imitate Christ. Okay. And when I tell you, because today I was praying in tongues and then the interpretation of tongues was coming, and the Lord said, He was telling me to say this. Observe me as I observe Him. Okay. So if you don't know this place, this is a place where we come to offer a living sacrifice. A church is a place where you come and offer a living sacrifice. You are that living sacrifice. Okay. And the moment you come into this place, I'm telling you, come on. The moment you come in this place, there's going to be a shift in your life.
Amen.
Do you understand? Something is going to shift in your life the moment you come here.
Amen.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you, I'm preparing you for a shift. I'm preparing you to experience what is going to take place when you come into this place. You will see there are certain things we do differently in this place. We do things differently. This is not like the usual prayer meeting. There are subtle things that are different. You will see, we don't collect offerings in this place. I never send offering bag in this place because whatever expenses, I take it on myself. Because I want to be the living sacrifice. And if you see me as a living sacrifice, I believe that God will imprint that into your heart.
Amen.
I don't need to preach about offering. My life is in preaching. Do you understand?
Amen.
My life is a preaching. And so everything, every time I breathe, I have only one prayer request for God. I say, God, let this place increase and have authentic people who will bring the authentic gospel in Goa.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Okay. So, you know, the last whole night, I'm not starting my sermon, okay? I'm just warming up. Last whole night, and today morning, my heart was literally, whole night, I could not sleep. And my heart was like, certain people were going around my heart, and I was literally crying for those people Because I saw those people ask the second question. They, in my church, in this place, I felt they were asking the second question, which is, God, what can I do for you? There are many people who will ask this question, God, what you can do for me? It's a consumeristic question. It's not wrong. It's good. But very few people ask this question, God, what I can do for you? And those people who ask this question, God, what I can do for you, they don't need to be told again and again what to do. They will automatically do things. My old church members, if I don't know if you notice, I don't tell you. I don't tell you what to do. If, at the most, I'll tell you once. I don't tell you because this is the place in entire Goa, I can challenge you, in entire Goa, the least amount of burden will be put on you. Do you understand? Least amount of burden. I don't even try to put a burden to say, you know, give your one-tenth or tithe. I don't even believe in that. And I don't expect anything from you. We have no hidden agenda other than service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't have agendas. And so my heart was crying for certain, like, certain people come, I don't have to tell them to do things. Gabby did wonderful worship. Give Gabby a big hand. Come on. He's not a musician. He's not a musician. He's he has no head or tail about music. But I'm sure he asked this question, God, can I worship you, right? Nobody, I'll tell you, when I came to know that he's worshiping, it was a shock of my life. Because I never in my dream saw him that he would stand on a keyboard. But what made him stand, and I'm 100% sure he has not even gone for any music classes. But what made him worship God, learn music on his own, sit down for hours and hours and practice, and still with whatever he can to come and worship God, is because he asked the second question, God, what can I do for you? Amen. Come on, come on. Keep the noise going on. He asked this question. You have very few people like that. These people are what God is looking for. And what I look for. So he just started coming to our church 2 months back, 3 months back, 2-3 months back. Trust me, I never told him anything. He said, let's play drums. I said, wow, okay, fine. And I was looking out for musician, worship leaders. He said, okay, fine, come. Then he said to me, Vernal, what you are preaching is the most, and we are going to discuss this today, is most needed in Goa. And he said, he voluntarily came and said, I need to share this to everybody whom I meet. I was like, wow. I didn't tell him. Trust me, till today, ask him, when you join me, have I ever said, Gabby, please invite people to church? No. He himself volunteered and said, I want to tell this gospel to everybody so that they may be free. Amen. I said, wow, this is exactly whom I want, whom I shouldn't tell, because there are people whom I keep telling, nothing happens, but there are some people, they do without telling. Because they understand the heart for God. Are you with me? You know, some people, like, sometimes we need to learn from people because It gives spiritual growth, guys. And so last night, like I was, we have Cynthia. All these people, were, like I was not able to sleep last night because it was like a burden in my heart, and it was like almost like because they are in my mind, my heart, it was like prayer to God, and I was asking God, now let there be a flow of blessing in their life. I never asked Cynthia to do interview. All of you guys, you are here. Trust me, we pray for you every day. Every day. You are covered. This is a church. What do I mean by church? By church, I don't mean that you, if you are a Catholic church, leave your Catholic church and join here. I mean, most of us are. Do you understand? By church means we are a community that believe in Jesus. We don't preach here or convince people to leave their religion or convince people to leave their denomination and come here. We encourage people to stay where you are. Are you with me? And being there where you are, we encourage you, spread Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. So we, all of you are prayed for because of people in the church, in our church, covering you. And I never told them, but there was a voluntary service. They said, Pastor, can I do worship? Can I do intercessory? I said, wow, I want this type of people. Are you with me? Okay. So some people will need to honor because they really honor God. And those who honor God, God honors them.
Amen.
Okay. Sometimes, you know, literally my heart cries because I see Adrina. Adrina comes all the way from Verna. One day she came with 4 kids on her bike. The small kid, today 2. But that moves the heart. And why am I saying this is very important. I'm going to tell you why I'm saying this. It moved my heart. I'm like, I never told her to come like that. But it shows the passion and hunger. And it shows that they have a real hunger for God. Are you with me? This is very important. Because many people say, I love Jesus. I'm sure everyone sitting here would say, how many of you love Jesus? Everyone will lift hands up. Right? But love is not love until it is tested. You didn't get it. I can say to my wife, I love you 1,000 times. But it doesn't become love until and unless I show it. Until and unless it is not shown, it is not love. It is only talks. And therefore, God became man and died for you.
Amen, amen.
The reason why Jesus died on the cross is because he wanted to express what love is. He became man and he died on the cross. If God had told with a loud voice, Vernal, I love you, I wouldn't believe it. But the day he brought his son down on earth and he died on the cross, I believe that this God is real God.
Amen.
I believe this God is real God. Are you with me? Is it boring?
No.
Okay, I'm going to make it interesting. When the prophecy time comes, all of you are going to be excited. Why am I telling you? It's because if you sit in your room, take the Bible, read as much as possible, pray as much as possible, and you say to God, God, I love you. Trust me. It's not love. Are you with me? Because you can't love somebody whom you can't see. That's what the Bible says, right? How can you say, God, I love you, whom you can't see, if you don't love your brother whom you can see. In other words, to really express love, you need to express it to a physical person whom you can see with your feel and touch. All your five senses are touching, feeling, experiencing. If you can't do that, trust me, that is not love. You can go for thousands of prayer meetings and you can stand there and say, Jesus, I love you, but until and unless you love physical Jesus, you can't love spiritual Jesus.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, there is physical Jesus and there is the spirit of Jesus, right? So my question is, where is that physical Jesus whom you have to love? Whom you can love? Where is he? Yeah, he's not neighbor. No, no. The Bible says the body of Christ is the church. Repeat with me.
The body of Christ is the church.
So where is the body, the physical Jesus? He's in the church.
Amen.
That's why we do church.
Amen.
I don't do ministry. I do church.
Amen.
I do church where people come and I hold them like family.
Amen.
Are you with me? You don't know me, my gifting. My gifting is powerful. Personality is like my gifting. To sit with them and to have a 10-minute counseling session, you need to pay 10,000 rupees. Really? Are you with me? I'm telling you the fact. You need to pay 10,000 rupees to sit with personalities like me, the gifting, people with the gifting like me. In other words, prophets like me. I'm a prophet. And I'm not ashamed to say that. But I'm available. Hello. Are you with me? I'm available because I look at the body of Christ as part of me. As look at you as a family when you come in this place.
Amen.
Are you there? Okay, without any agendas. I look at you and I see, oh, this is part of the church. This is like my family. And then once I consider you my family, then we are here. Each one of us, church members, are here to lay down a life for you. In other words, when you are sick, when things go wrong, we have people praying for you. When you need help, we are there to reach out for you. This is not a ministry. This is not a fly-by-night place. This is a place that carries. Are you with me? Okay, that's what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place where it knows each other. Each one knows each other. You know me and I know you. Tomorrow, next Sunday, I will know you by name. That's church. Are you with me? Now, why I'm saying this is, and why I said this, is when somebody comes, you know, how do you touch the heart of God? How do you touch the heart of God? You can't touch the heart of God by sitting at home and praying. Sorry. These are deep mysteries. You can't touch the heart of God sitting at home and pray because he's invisible. If you touch the heart of a man of God, you touch the heart of God.
Amen.
I'm giving you real truth. Are you with me?
Amen.
If you touch the heart of the church, you touch God.
Amen.
You touch the body, heart of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
And so when you come to God and you say, God, what can I do for your church? You touched his heart. And when you come here and you say, okay, I'm going to do something for him. What is there? What, pastor, what can I do for you or for the church? That's the moment you touch the heart. There was one person in the Bible who was called next to the heart of God. Can you tell me who? David. Why David was called a person next to the heart of God? Because he asked this question, God, I want to build a temple for you.
Amen.
Yeah, come on. He said, I want to build a temple for you. God said, you are next to my heart. You are next to my heart. And this is what church is all about. Church is about when you come here and you say, Pastor, what can I do for you? Can I put the chairs? Can I put the this? Can I help you? Can I help you? Can I do something? Can I do something? You're not asking me. You're asking God. And then you get an opportunity to do something for the body of Christ. People who don't know me, you got... I'm well educated. I've done masters in English literature. I've done a lot of courses in my life. I can make money. I can do job. I can do a lot of things. But I chose to serve the church.
Amen.
Because that's the body of Christ.
Amen.
If you come few 5, 10 prayers here, you will suddenly understand the intelligence level of this man who is standing. Yeah, I'm not boasting. It's very high. It's sometimes overwhelming. That you might leave also and run away. But I come and I say, God, all I dream is your church now. All I dream is you guys. When I sleep, I'm telling you, when I go to sleep in the night, all of you are there in my mind. I sleep with you in my heart. And then you'll see this, because how I prophesy is, you will see I accurately prophesy because I do this. You might be coming for the first time here, but I've been praying for you for a long time. Come on. When I sleep, I pray for you. You are there in my heart, in my mind. I pray for you. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. So, is it bad to ask this question, God, what can you do for me? That question should come second. First question should be, God, what I can do for you? That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything shall be added unto you. Hello, 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 hello.
Amen.
Come on. It's a little bit emotional today, but let's get the energy up. Okay. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Okay. I'm telling you, if you have a heart, you can do a lot of things for us. And I ask very, very, my yoke of our church is very light. If you ask me, Pastor, what can I do for you? I will never say, please give me 5,000 rupees. For me, money is never shows anybody's heart. I will gladly take 5,000, but... But you have to see in your heart what I can afford to do for God. Okay. I would ask you to go and bring someone to church. Are you with me? Because we have a vision to change and transform people's life. If you ask me, if you say to me, Pastor, that's too much for me, I would say, please take my videos on YouTube and share. And if you say, no, Pastor, that is too much for me, I say, at least put like there and put comment there, because when you put comment there, everybody sees it. It's a small thing I ask, the least thing I ask. But that question has to keep ringing into your heart. What can I do for you, God? Are you with me? Okay. And so the first question should be, what can I do for you, God? Then I'm telling you, God is going to ask you the question, what can I do for you, my child? You will not have to ask the second question. Trust me. If you ask this question first, God, what can I do for you? God is going to ask you the second question, what can I do for you, my child?
Amen.
And trust me, He's a faithful God. Give Him a big hand. Okay, now, can you bring the energy I'm getting into the word? Okay? Can you bring the energy? Come on. Come on, more. Come on. I'm sorry, I started a little dramatic. So let's bring the energy, yeah. Lovely. I want to tell you something. I'm a strong church believer. If I do ministry, I can gather 100 to 200 people just like that because of the gifting that I have. Do you understand? But I'm a strong believer in church where people come, they live as family, and we support people, and they support the church as a family.
Amen.
Okay, are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. See, you should know how I move in the spirit. If you know how I move in the spirit, you will never keep quiet. Are you with me? If you know how I move with the Spirit, in the Spirit, you will never keep quiet. I feel like prophesying, then I hold myself back. I feel like prophesying, I hold myself back. Because the moment it's silent, then I become silent. The moment you make noise, then I can prophesy. Okay, I'm about to prophesy, really, now. But then... No, more. More, come on. I like it. The more you do this, I'm telling you, this is a free place. Everyone shout, free.
Free.
And I told you, there are certain things, subtle things that you notice. When you come here, you will see freedom. Like, you don't feel like you are supposed to do anything. Even all that I said just now, after listening to that, you won't feel that, am I supposed to do anything? This is a free place. You will sit here in the realm of the Spirit. There is something that comes and sets you free. And I'm going to explain to you what it is, okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Let your expectations be met.
Yes.
Okay, let's go. How do I begin? I want you to understand what is a church. The church is the body of Christ. I want you to understand that in order to have a visitation from God, you have to come and be part of a church to have that visitation from God. Because here, you can touch, feel Jesus physically.
Amen.
You can't touch, feel Jesus in a prayer closet. It is here. That's the reason why God says, do not, in the book of Hebrews, do not forsake the meeting of the people. Are you with me?
Amen.
He said, do not forsake the meeting of the people, because it is when two or three gather, there I am there, he says. Means I am physically there.
Amen.
Physically, not spiritually.
Amen.
He's physically here. When you see me and when I see you, I'm seeing Jesus.
Amen.
When I'm, trust me, I'm fasting and I'm praying the whole night, because I can come here, prophesy, bless you, and preach in this place.
Amen.
And so that all of you are felt, you are served.
Amen.
You know, it's not actually to you I do, it is to Jesus. Physically. My physical service to Jesus is when I come and do things in the church. Are you with me? Same thing, you need to understand, when you come and sit here, you are not coming here just to receive, but you are coming here to serve. Problem is, many Christians don't understand this. Because of this model called as ministries, because it only teaches you to receive. If you only eat and don't exercise, you know what happens. And that is what obesity, spiritual obesity, has come over all the Christians. Welcome, Holy Spirit. He's coming, coming, coming. You are becoming fat spiritually. We are in your presence. Come, 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 come. You fall down. Nothing wrong in falling down. But I'm saying, then how do you exercise? Couple of years back, Cynthia had come. She has been for prayer meetings, endless prayer meetings. One day she cries and calls me, Pastor, I feel so useless. I want to do something. I want to grow in spirituality. I told her, join the church and start serving. The moment you join a church and you start serving, you start growing.
Amen.
Are you with me? Growth doesn't come just by sitting and receiving. Growth comes when you ask the question, what can I do for you, God? Because the water which is not flowing becomes stagnant and it is called gutter. Many Christians are outside butter, inside gutter. You understand? Because of this reason. You don't understand simple thing. Okay. Now, so when you come to church, you are seeing Jesus physically. Okay, now, let me explain to you today. How many of you have read the book of Ruth? Something God spoke to me today. Read, or you know the story of the book of Ruth. Raise your hands, I want to see, because accordingly I will explain to you. Ruth. Oh, this is ruthless. Only few of you. Okay, fine. I'll explain to you. I'll do it. I'll try to explain to you in short. It's there in the Bible, okay? So, listen to this. There was this people in Bethlehem, the Israelites, and there's this family. Who is that? No. Elimelech. His wife was Naomi, and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Now listen. This family was there, and there comes like a famine in the land. And so they leave their, you have to understand, our God is a God of community. Everyone say, our God is a God of community. Right from the beginning, you read this entire Bible. And if you're really a Bible believer, you will understand God is a God of community. That's why he's called God of Israel, the community.
Amen.
He's actually not a personal God.
Amen.
He's a community God.
Amen.
Okay. And so this community, called as Israelites, were there, and there was a famine, and so they moved from Bethlehem to another place called as Moab, which is not a Jewish community, not a Jewish land. And so when they go over there, you see what happens. It says, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Everyone say. Oh, lovely. Okay, let's bring some fun here. And she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of women. Now Elimelech dies and two sons are there. They take women of Moab. Now listen, people of Israel, it was a community of God, and they were actually not allowed to get married to people outside their community. But now they go there, and they don't have women there, so Israeli women, so they get married to Moabites. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both, say both, and get ready, Mahlon and Chilion also died. What are you supposed to do? Very good. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So all of these people, they die. Now only Naomi and the two daughter-in-laws are alive. Who's that? Orpah and Naomi. The story goes like this. It's just a small book, but I won't read it. Now Naomi says, let's go home. She suddenly realized, let's go home. And then, when she decides to go home, Orpah says, bye-bye, Naomi. Okay, like most of the daughter-in-laws would do. But there's another daughter-in-law like my wife, whose name is Ruth. And see what she says to Naomi. She says, I will not leave you. I will go with you to Israel, to Bethlehem. And she says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from you, following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Are you with me? Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Now she had all the liberty to say, bye, Ruth. Sorry, Naomi. She said, no. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Your community will be my community. And she goes with Naomi, and the story goes like that. And there, the rule was, the law was, if everybody in the family was dead and there was a widow, the closest relative who is not married has to now get married to Ruth. And so Ruth goes, and she meets this guy before that. When they go to Bethlehem, everyone are excited. Wow, Naomi's come after 10 years. And everyone is happy. And Naomi says, don't be happy. My name is no longer Naomi. My name is Mara. Mara means bitter. My life is gone. It's bitter. It's no longer something to be happy about. And so, then they go to actually, there was a law that if you don't have food to eat, you have nothing to eat, you go into the field and there whatever remains in the harvest, you pick it up and you eat food from that. And so Ruth would go there to remove those grains. She meets this rich man called Boaz. And then she realizes that this guy is her relative. And so she goes and tells Naomi, listen, I got one bakra. And Naomi says, yes, 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 that's possible. You can get married to him if he agrees to. And so when he was sleeping, Ruth goes and goes near the feet of Boaz and sits there whole night. And then Boaz asks her, what do you want? And she says, you are my closest relative and you can get married to me. And then to cut the long story short, the end of it, we see that they get married. And I want to read the end of it. And it goes like this. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and she bore a son. Then woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you the restorer of life, nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Okay, now, Ruth gets married and they have a son. And now they say that Naomi got the same son. Okay. There is son born to Naomi, and they called him his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy. I won't go to read the whole thing. And then you out of the descendant of that son comes Jesus. Are you with me? Yeah. Where is it? Okay. Why am I sharing you this? It's a very, very significant story. The story is like this. There's one place, I'm not getting it, where Naomi says, here. Naomi says, call me Mara. Yeah, there. Ruth chapter 1 verse 20. She says, but she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. What was going there? Drought was going there in Bethlehem. But when they were going, they went full. And the Lord has brought me home again empty. Are you with me? Went home full, went there full, came empty. Very significant story, and I want you to understand this. Naomi represents each one of us today here. The two daughter-in-law represents the heart condition of our life. Are you with me? Boaz represents Jesus. Are you with me? Every theologian will say Boaz represents Jesus. Now look at this. Because though Ruth did not deserve, Boaz comes and saves her from her poverty. It's what Jesus did, right? He brought salvation. He saved us from every wrong, everything, every bitterness. Now listen, why did Naomi suffer? Nobody goes to see that. Why did Naomi lost everything in her life? Why did she suffer? Why she went full but she became empty? Because she came out of the community. Amen. Come on. You don't understand this. See, what did I say? God is a God of community. God can bless you only when you are in the community. The moment you are out of the community, blessing stops. Really. That's how it is. I'm going to explain another thing to prove my theology to you. God is a God of Isaac, Abraham, Jacob. In other words, it means to say he's a God of Israel. He's a God of the community. The moment you're out of the community, blessing stops. Because God can bless you only when you are part of a community. Do you understand? The moment they went out of the community, they went full, but they got empty. Her name became bitter. It became Mara. And she was suffering in her life. Now listen. How does she get blessed?
Amen.
Hello, hello. Yeah, you got it, sister. How does she get blessed? She came back to her community. That's blessing started. Listen, listen, listen. Boaz did not go search of Naomi or Ruth. Boaz, the Bible says, Boaz was the richest man and the most generous man, representing Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings and He loves you. He will give everything. He died for you. But listen, He can't do anything until and unless you're not in the community.
Amen.
Come on, come on. Are you with me? It's only when Ruth comes into the community and He says, your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God, that's when she gets married to the richest person over there and she becomes the richest woman now. I'm telling you today, if you are bitter, the moment you step in this place, your name is changing today.
Amen.
Your name is changing. Because this community, the body of Christ, is this community.
Amen.
This community, the body of Christ, is the Boaz. The moment you come here, Boaz starts blessing you.
Amen.
Are you with me? Are you understanding?
Amen.
That's why I told you, when you come here, you'll see subtle changes.
Amen.
Something is going to shift.
Amen.
Something is going to shift.
Amen.
Because you are encountering Boaz in this place tonight.
Amen.
That Boaz who will take away every bitterness of your life, every poverty from your life, and then transfer His riches in your life. This place where you sit, this place where you sit, is not an ordinary place. It's a place of your blessings.
Amen.
It's a place where you receive your blessings.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
This is a place of community where Boaz is physically present. The body of Christ is physically present. And when you come into the community, the God of this community starts ministering to you.
Yes.
The God of the community starts ministering to you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. I show you sometimes how the prophetic works in this place.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't worry about her. She's not an alien. I know she's beautiful, but not an alien. What did I say just now? If you see the prophetic in this place, then people who are come new, you haven't seen, pray that today I show you. Pray, really, I'm asking you. Pray that today I show you.
Amen.
The prophetic in this place is not an ordinary prophetic.
Yes.
Okay, I don't come here and I say, is there anybody who has knee pain here? Please stand here. I will come straight to you and I'll tell you what it is. Not just that. I can make anybody, this small child, stand and come and stand next to you. His birthday and your birthday will be same. You see how that happens.
Amen.
The order comes. You see, everything starts falling in order when you come over here.
Amen.
Why does that happen? Because you are coming in a community where the order of God resides.
Amen.
You know, everything about Ruth was disordered.
Yes.
The moment she steps, everything starts falling in order in her life.
Amen.
Everything starts falling in order in Naomi's life. Trust me, and it falls in order so much that from the descendants come Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the church from where, when you be part of, you start giving to birth to real Christ in your life.
Amen.
If you want to give birth to Christ, you need to be in the church. Are you with me?
Amen.
This is a place, things getting order in your life.
Amen.
Okay, now you will see there's complete freedom in this place. There is not a single person who comes here I make sure when you go out of this place, you go with a one message in your mind, that you are blessed.
Amen.
And when I say you are just blessed, listen. Listen to this. I'm not saying this like other ministry. I'm saying this. When I say you are blessed, I mean to say you are not cursed.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
When I say you are blessed, I mean to say you are not cursed. Because I can still preach to you that you are blessed. And you can go out of this place and you can say, I am blessed also and I am cursed also. I have blessings of Abraham, but my father-in-law is cursed. Or father is cursed, that's why my family is cursed. These are two opposite things. You either be here or either be there. The Bible says, you either be hot or either be cold. If you are lukewarm, God will throw you out of the mouth, it says. When you come here, it's a final decision you have to make here. You have to go out. Before you go out, you have to decide whether you're blessed or cursed. You can either be one here.
Yes.
Hello, you can either be one here.
Yes.
You can either be blessed here or either be cursed here.
Yes.
I'm telling you, when you come in a community like this, this community comes from a lineage. You know lineage?
Yes.
The lineage of prophets, apostles. The lineage, it reaches the lineage far to Abraham.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
The church comes from a lineage. The lineage reaches far back to Abraham. If the moment you believe in Jesus and you say, I'm part of Zion's Gate, you say, Abraham's blessings are my blessings.
Amen.
You know why? Because you say, he's my lineage. Are you there? And so if you say, I'm coming from his lineage, Abraham's blessing is my blessing, because the Bible says whoever believes in him, Jesus, Abraham's blessing becomes your blessing. And all the promises in the word is yes and amen.
Amen.
So all the blessings are waiting to fall on you.
Amen.
Because you come from that line. So you have to decide which line you come from. You come from your line or you come from Abraham's line.
Amen.
So what does it mean, a believer? A believer is the one who believes in Jesus, right?
Amen.
And the one who believes in Jesus, it is said, to them God gave him power to become sons of God.
Amen.
And to the sons of God, they carry the lineage from Abraham, so the blessings of Abraham comes and rests upon them.
Amen.
So you have to decide when you say I'm a believer, you are saying I either believe in him or I believe in me, my lineage. If you say that my life is cursed, or I am a victim to ancestral curse. Guys, you are not part of this church. You can't be a part of this church. If you say to me that black magic and witch, I'm going to explain to you, black magic and witchcraft can affect you. Trust me, you can never be part of this church. Because this church believes no witchcraft, no black magic, no evil spirit, no curse of the ancestor can ever touch this church members who sit here.
Amen.
As this community comes It has a long history. In faith, we are part of Israel.
Amen.
In faith, we are Jews.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
In faith, we are descendants of Abraham.
Amen.
Blessings of Abraham comes on us.
Amen.
Not a curse.
Amen.
Not the curse.
Amen.
Don't dare to come here. Because the moment you come here, you can't go out cursed. If the moment you come here bitter, you go out sweet.
Amen.
The moment you come here as a curse, the moment you step in here, you are blessed.
Amen.
And blessings will flow into your life.
Amen.
I want you to believe that.
Amen.
You know, every evil spirit, every devil that comes over your life, the moment you come here, I become their master. You didn't understand this. One day I'll teach this. Newcomers. We never fight the devil in this church. We tame the devil.
Amen.
We master over the devil.
Amen.
We rule over the devil.
Amen.
That's what God has called us to. To have authority over the evil spirit. You understand? Years back, I didn't understand this. Now I know. When I see somebody with evil spirit comes to my church, I get excited. Because now I get one spirit that will work for me now. You didn't understand this. You'll never understand this till I preach this. I have a spirit that will work for me. Because I have authority.
Amen.
Whatever I tell that spirit will do something for me.
Amen.
It has to obey me.
Amen.
Jesus never told to fight the devil, guys. This Christian spiritual warfare is BS. You know what is BS, right? It's BS. Jesus only said, I give you authority. Authority means I rule over. Authority means I control. People in this church, when you step in, the devil can't control you. You start controlling the devil.
Amen.
Hello, hello. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
The devil can't control any member of this church. You start controlling the devil. Okay, now let me bring this to close, and I'm going to prophesy. If the energy is good,
amen.
Only.
Amen.
Not so good, I'll just preach the word. I want to end this with what happened in the book of Numbers. Let's go to Numbers. I'm just going to read. You have to trust that it is there in the Bible. If you read Numbers 22, see, the people of Israel have come out of Egypt and they are going now to the promised land. And as they are going, they settle to this place called as Moab. Is it Moab? Today all Moab, huh? Moab. They settle next to this place called as Moab. And the king of Moab is upset because what if these people increase? What if these people increase and they will take everything of us? Like sometimes we Goans get insecure. They were getting insecure. You know what I mean, right? And so, listen to this carefully. The king of Moab says, there's a guy who does, he's the most powerful witch. He's a witch, not a God's prophet. Huh? He's a witch. Means Gadi, the top Gadi of that time. You know what's the Gadi, right? The top black magicians of that time. And says, call him, call him, call him. And he wants him to speak a curse, to speak a spell. You know spell? Magic spell. Because if he puts a spell on people of Israel, they will get over. And so he sends his people, Balak sends, the king Balak sends gold, silver, everything, and says, call him to curse people of Israel. Cutting the story short, his name is Balaam. And every time he tries to speak a curse over people of Israel, God turns his tongue and it may turns it into a blessing.
Amen.
You have to understand, he's not a godly man. But there's lots to it. I wish I could explain. I'm trying to restrict this knowledge. Gabby has told me, please restrict. I can't go deeper, but just take this. He's telling, because if he speaks a curse, it will happen. If he speaks a blessing, it will happen. Not God's man. He's not a God man. But if he speaks, it happens. Just take this for today. Now, every time he goes to open his mouth, God says, hey, you can't curse. These are my people. These are my community. This is people of Israel. And he says, and every time he opens now, the king takes him to different mountains. And every time he opens his mouth to curse, Israel, bless you. Like that center fresh, you know. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Israel starts getting blessed.
Amen.
The whole community gets blessed. Not an individual. The whole community starts getting blessed. Listen to this carefully. Now, Numbers 23:23. For there is, because all he can do, if you read every mountain, he's doing sacrifice. You know, sacrifice. Blood sacrifice. This is what people who are into witchcraft, black magic, they do. They do sacrifice. So every mountain is sacrificing, doing this, doing that, giving energy. God is not permitting him to do because he's considering Israel as his community. And so God says, and he says, for there is no sorcery. You know sorcery. Sorcery is like gadabon. There is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and Israel, oh, what God has done.
Amen.
There's no black magic, no witchcraft against the people of Israel,
Amen.
Against this community.
Amen.
This is Old Testament, guys,
Amen.
Where the blood of Jesus is not yet shed.
Amen.
And they are saying there's no witchcraft, there's no black magic against this community. And so this prophet, this guy, realizes you can't curse the people of Israel. But he comes with a plan. Say everybody, plan. To curse the people of Israel. You know what he does? He tells this king, get the beautiful girls of Moab and take them to attract the people of Israelites. When they start getting married to your girls, they are going to come out of their community, the boundaries of the community. When they come out of the boundaries of community, now you can curse. Are you with me? So Bible talks about Balaam taught Balak how to put a stumbling block for Israel. The only way to put a curse on Israel was bring them out, bring those people out of the community.
Amen.
And it happens. The moment it happens, God comes and he says, look, 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 now he can curse you. Immediately go and kill all those people who came out of the community. And they kill all the people and get saved. Are you with me? What I'm trying to tell you, when you come and sit here, no witchcraft. Hello.
Amen.
Come on, if you're excited, you receive it.
Amen.
When you come and sit here, no witchcraft.
Amen.
No black magic.
Amen.
No demon.
Amen.
No Satan.
Amen.
No Lucifer.
Amen.
No curses.
Amen.
Can ever touch your life.
Amen.
Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I prophesy a blessing over your life today. When you come as a Zion's Gate member, there is, if anybody tries to curse you, that curse will turn into a blessing into your life. I'm telling you, if there is any evil spirit in your house, trust me, that evil spirit will turn into an angel over your life. I'm not saying this like just like that. I'm telling you, that evil spirit will turn as an angel over your life.
Amen.
I'm not just saying this. If you come for too long, I'll prove it to you.
Amen.
Every demon over your life tonight will turn into an angel.
Amen.
And every curse over your life will turn into a blessing over your life. Every witchcraft over your life, trust me, be excited, because it's going to turn into a blessing tonight over your life. Because we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, what he has done.
Amen.
Your portion of blessing is waiting tonight.
Amen.
Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is this good? Come on, is this good?
Hallelujah.
Come on, lovely. Come on, let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. Give me energy. Come on.